Good to have you with us, folks, and thank the Lord and the pastor for the opportunity to preach the Word of God this evening. Good to have the first with us there. Friendship goes back 43 years, a long time ago. They're members of a sister church of ours in New Jersey, and we, as a church, the two churches years ago, we did things together, and they've been coming, attending off and on as they visited from New Jersey for the last several years. So it's good to see them and have them here tonight. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 8. You know, we all have our things that we are favorites and such as that. Some people are readers to the point that, you know, anything they pick up, they're happy to read. I'm not that way. One thing that always has attracted me as far as reading was biographies. And I can't say that I've read a lot of them, but I do enjoy reading biographies. I enjoy biographical movies that are, and you know, you have to realize a lot of those, you know, they've been edited and whatnot. But biographical movies. And then I often, listening and hearing about folks, different things in their life and all, it's just very interesting. Coming to the Word of God, coming to the Bible. When I pastored, there were numbers, I can't say a lot of times, I was at Founders at our church for we were there almost 37 years. So you preach a lot of messages in 37 years. But so one of my favorites, didn't do it a lot, but one of my favorite topics of sorts was that of biographical messages. And tonight I'd like us to look tonight for just a few moments at somebody who's very familiar to us, but that's no problem. Sometimes it's easy to hear and understand something that's familiar to us. I want us to look at Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Verses 1 through 8, just a what does the Bible say? And of course, Noah to us is a very common figure. I mean, we folks, those of us who are here this evening, no doubt know very much about him. But we can still be reminded, at least, about him from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can be together this evening, and thank you for this time that we can open your word. And we just pray now, Lord, as we look at this great man Noah, just what your word says about him, that you might stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my first point is Noah was the benefactor of a godly heritage. You know, that's a blessing. If you can have look back on your life, and a lot of us look back and say, we're from unsaved homes, and that's fine. God, thank the Lord for God's grace and mercy in saving you in spite of your home. But if you can look back on a godly heritage, What a blessing that can be. Noah was from a godly heritage. Now I'm going to excuse Pastor and excuse Dale as far not to leave the room. I don't mean that. but to excuse him from answering. Who was Noah's great-grandfather? Anybody? No, his great his great-grandfather. Enoch. Yeah, Enoch. Enoch was his great-grandfather. And Enoch, what do we know about Enoch? Enoch. He walked with God. And he didn't die. Didn't die. God took him. He was taken from the earth to be with the Lord because he pleased God. That's his great-grandfather. Boy, that's a great heritage, isn't it? And then we have, someone had said earlier, we have Methuselah. That was his grandfather. Methuselah was his grandfather, the longest living man on the face of the earth. And then his father is Lamech, evidently another godly man. And you see that stated in the previous chapter. You know, you can learn, you know, genealogies, a lot of times I think we're tempted to maybe skip over them, you know. But you can learn, if you look at them, you can learn a lot about them. Now, this is a very brief genealogy. You look at the genealogy of our Lord. In that, what an unusual genealogy. There are women mentioned in the genealogy. And there were non-Jews mentioned in the genealogy. You know, you can just learn so much about somebody or what they're, just various things, just from their genealogy. Well, Noah was the benefactor of a godly heritage. And thank God he didn't turn his back on it. Thank the Lord that he went ahead and he built upon that. Now, in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, you see here that Noah lived during a wicked age. The Bible says God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. You know what, I look at that, and as I read that, and as I study that, I think, you know what? That could be said about today, isn't it? Imagine that. God saw that the wickedness of man, you turn on the, you can hardly want to turn on the news. It's just, and you know, because it's just shootings and killings and corruption and all kinds of things. Every imagination, the thought of his heart, was only evil continually. One Bible commentator says, what a terrible scene before the eyes of the Lord, and how startling a contrast to what he had seen at the time of creation. Here's something interesting. Notice this. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 31. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. It says here that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, in our King James Bible, the next time we see the words, the phrase God saw, is there in Genesis 6, verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine the difference? Perfect creation to now terrible sin and degradation to such a degree that God would destroy the world, destroy every living creature in the world. How bad could it be? Could it be worse than today? I can't answer that, but you wonder, you know. And you see here God. So you see that Noah lived during a very wicked age. But something else, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at verse 8. In spite of the degradation, in spite of worldwide degradation, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And you know, I find today we have worldwide degradation. And yet, I read and I hear, you hear of countries, I mean, you know, the Middle East, the problems over there, the countries there, you think of communist China and all the evil and the problems there. And yet, maybe through the internet and things like that, I hear of and read of these awful countries and non-Christian countries. There's no such thing as a Christian country. America certainly not, but countries at least Christianity is at least tolerated. There are many, many, many believers. There are people, and there are small churches, there are house churches and things, people meeting in secret. I just was reading this past week that in the Ukraine, believers might have to go underground secret because of what's happening over there in there with Russia and such as that. But you see here that in spite of this degradation, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm sure most of you know the typical definition of grace is unmerited favor, and that's a good definition. Another word is a synonym probably would be mercy. And it's, I wrote this down. You know, and we have to think about this. Grace is the source from which comes every blessing we receive. And you know, you think about that. What's a blessing? Everything we have. You can see, that's a blessing. You can hear, that's a blessing. And how often, every day, we are blessed over and over and over again and just take it for granted. It's a part of our life. But the Bible talks about the grace of God. The Bible asks this question. It's a good one for us to ask ourselves. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? You know, if you go back and you think, you go back and trace things back, you know, ultimately it will come back to God. It's due to God, God's grace. And here we see God's grace was seen at a time in which the sins of mankind ran rampant throughout the whole earth. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want us to notice for a few moments this evening, notice in chapter 6, verse 9, notice the character of Noah. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, and he was noted for many sayings, he said this, your reputation is what men think you to be, your character is what God knows you to be. Your character may not be what your reputation is. I don't think your reputation is going to be any better than your character. I don't think men are going to think better than God looks down. But you know what? Your reputation is what men think you to be. Your character is what God knows you to be. And notice what God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had Moses write these words. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. Noah, in this day of evil, Noah was righteous. He was just, surrounded by evil. I mean, that's all that was in that world, pretty much. And he was a just man. The Bible says there, in verse 9, he was perfect in his generation. Someone has described that phrase, perfect in his generation, as being a faithful and obedient worshiper who oversaw his family and instructing them in the fear and admonition of God. Noah was a just man. Noah was perfect in his generation. And here's something. Noah walked with God. Noah lived a life of communion and fellowship with God. In the midst of evil and sin and degradation, we see there that Noah was a godly man. Notice, and let's turn with me for a moment. Well, we're going to be here pretty much the rest of the time. We may turn back a time or two. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the Hebrews chapter 11 is, of course, is the, some people have called it different things. Some people have the Hall of Fame of Faith. Certainly, it's a book that talks much about the heroes of faith. So there's a lot of things said about Hebrews chapter 11. Notice Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse 7. Notice here, and what it speaks about the faith of Noah in verse 7. Let's read that. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is of faith. Noah was a great man of faith. First of all, the first phrase there in that verse, you see the basis of Noah's faith. The basis of Noah's faith was God's word. By faith, Noah being warned, of God. You know, faith that is acceptable to God rests not on feeling, but on God's eternal word. You know, I have in my heart a trust, a faith in such as that. And yet, it's not just a feeling. Upon what are we claiming? What's the basis for that? R.E. Torrey had some great books on prayer. And Torrey said, we need to, when we come to God with various things, we need to have verses that we can hold up to God and say, Lord, you've promised here, and I'm claiming that promise. You see, that's by faith Noah being warned of God. Famous, well-known verse that to all of us, no doubt, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Noah was a man of faith. Base of his faith was God's word. But notice something else. Notice the next phrase speaks of the sphere of Noah's faith. Noah's faith laid hold of things not seen as yet, had never been seen. Look at in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, what? The evidence of things not seen. Someone has said Noah was building something that had never been seen to accomplish something that had never occurred, a worldwide flood. Folks hadn't even seen rain. They never saw rain before, mist from the ground. Noah was building something that had never been seen to accomplish something that had never occurred. He's building this humongous ship. No water around. I mean, it defies the imagination. But why did he do it? Because of God. Notice something else. Notice the character of Noah's faith. He says there the next phrase. He moved with fear. The character of Noah's faith, he moved with fear. Someone said, true faith not only believes God's blessed promises, but it also believes God's threatenings. Think of that. You know, it's wonderful to take hold of the great promises of God, but you know, you need to hold on to the threatenings of God. True faith not only believes God's blessed promises, but it also believes God's threatenings. Many times we quote, our preachers quote from Spurgeon. Spurgeon about this said this. He said, he who does not believe that God will punish sin will not believe that he will pardon it through the atoning blood. He who does not believe that the Lord will cast unbelievers into hell will not be sure that he will take believers to heaven. If we doubt God's word about one thing, we shall have small confidence in it and upon another thing. Since faith in God must treat all of God's word alike, for the faith which accepts one word of God and rejects another is evidently not faith in God, but faith in our own judgment, faith in our own taste. That's true. Genesis, turn back for a minute. Keep your finger here, coming back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. Let's look there for a moment. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17. Notice what he says here. He says here, and this was told Noah, and this is where his faith comes in. Notice, he said, "Behold, I even do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now, we've never seen, and by God's grace never will see, a worldwide flood. But we've seen floods. Local floods and such as that, nothing anywhere near Noah's. But I mean, we do know what flooding is. We've experienced it. We've seen it here in this area over the years. But they had never seen it. And notice what he says there. He's going to bring in a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy everything, wherein is the breath of life. Everything that is in it, in the earth, everything that is in the earth shall die. Notice that. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So you see there, Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And notice this. Next phrase. Notice the evidence of Noah's faith. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now notice this. Now he's not around any water where you're going to build a boat or anything. He's nowhere near water. This is because of the flood that's coming. Go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 15. Look at this. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and no water." Can you imagine that? Years ago, and I'm going way back. We were in South Carolina, Columbia. Yeah, I was youth pastor, assistant pastor, youth pastor. Somebody visited us, an organization. It was a mission. And I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but they had constructed like these little cardboard situations. It was a cardboard basis, and they had like a little, not a record player, but something you could turn a record on. And then they had cardboard that came up from, it's hard for me to even describe, very, very simple. But you would turn it. So they would take these and be distributed in jungles and things like that where there's no electricity. Now this is, I mean, now today you've got all kinds of situations you work around somewhere. This is 50 years ago, almost, it would have been 1972, 73, 74, almost 50 years ago. And you took, the little records had a little hole in them, and you took a pencil, and you tried to play it at a certain speed so that the sound would be good and such, and it had to be just at the right speed. But there was a story there about Noah. I remember that, of all the stories that I'd heard on the, and the people, the neighbors, you know what they were doing? They were laughing, and they were mocked. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine if you start, well, most of us have HOAs, and if you have an HOA, it wouldn't happen. So forget that. But if you didn't have they didn't have HOAs in the Bible time. So build something like this, people think he's nuts. I mean, what in the world's he doing? There's no water. There's a flood coming from the ground. You see? But that was an evidence of Noah's faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And Noah was a great man of faith. Let's look at two more points and we'll be through. Well, before I go any further, let me give you a couple. Let's go just remind ourselves about the matter of faith. What the Bible says, James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, a man may say he hath faith and hath not works? What if God told him, Noah, it's going to be a flood, going to destroy the world, and such as that, but he didn't obey God? Guess what? They'd have been destroyed with it, wouldn't they? What doth it profit, my brother, Noah, a man say he hath faith and not works? James chapter 2, verse 7 says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Two more points, and then we're going to close. Notice the witness of Noah's faith. The witness of Noah's faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By the which he condemned the world. Notice that. Someone has said this, that by his confidence and his preparation for the flood, Noah showed the wisdom of his course and the folly of the course of the world. Noah didn't have to go out and say, you folks are all going to be destroyed, you're a bunch of fools and all. Just his doing right. His doing what God told him to do was a rebuke to all the others. And I don't mean we don't witness and testify, but you know what? Some people get bugged at a godly life. Sometimes in families have problems with people that live godly. They just bugs them. I don't mean you shouldn't witness, but it's your life that bugs them as much as anything. You see? By which he condemned the world. He condemned the world just by building the ark. He was no doubt a preacher and such as that. But just building the ark, he condemned the world. The witness of Noah's faith. Notice the last thing. Notice the reward of Noah's faith. And became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, folks, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And even as we're here today, we think we can't, we realize a person can't be saved without faith. A person can't live daily a Christian life without faith, taking God at his word. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to pray by God in faith, trusting God. And there's so many things. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Of course, that was a great verse that Martin Luther affected his life. And you think, let's see, that's a promise, but it also can be a challenge. If you look at it, you can look at that verse two ways. The just shall live by faith. By faith in Christ, we shall live eternally. But there's also the admonition. The just shall live by faith, need to live by faith, must live by faith. And that's true too. That's what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, help us we look at this. It's a wonderful story. It's a story that even our children know. But Lord, there's so many teachings in it. There are wonderful admonitions for us today. Help us, Lord, not just to know the story, but Lord, the principles, the challenges. And Lord, help us to see that Noah's a man that we need to not only admire, but Lord, we need to, by your grace, say he's an encouragement and he's a challenge to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.